Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Bassline Theory Shuffle Warp Blueprint enabled in Live 12. Aim straight at that jungle and old school drum and bass vibe. And the big idea here is simple. We're not just designing a bass sound, we're building a bass system. Something that moves, grooves, and stays mix ready with the drums. So think of this as a performance bass rack, not just a preset. We want weight, we want attitude, and we want control. The sub needs to stay solid. The mid bass needs to talk. And the whole thing needs to feel like it's breathing with the break, not fighting it. First things first, set your tempo somewhere around 168 to 174 BPM. That's the sweet zone where classic jungle and old school DNB start to lock in naturally. Then make sure your session has the basic structure in place. A drum, rock or breakbeat track, a bass MIDI track, and if you want, a couple of return tracks for delay and reverb. Keep it simple at the start. In this style, clarity beats clutter every time. If you're using a breakbeat loop, warp it carefully. For full breaks, Complex Pro can work well, but if you want more punch and slicing energy, try Beats Mode. The important part is that the snare stays sharp, and the groove stays alive. Jungle and DNB are all about tension between precision and movement. Now let's build the bass source. A really strong stock setup in Live 12 is operator into saturator, then autofilter, EQ8, compressor or glue compressor, and utility at the end. That chain gives you everything you need. Clean low end, harmonic edge, filtering, dynamic control, and mono discipline. Inside operator, start with a sine wave on oscillator A for the sub. That's your foundation. Then add a saw or a square on oscillator B for the harmonics. Keep B lower in level, then A so the sub stays in charge and the upper tone just adds character. You can use a tiny bit of pitch envelope if you want a more percussive attack, but keep it subtle. This style is usually more about rhythm and pressure than big melodic bass moves. For the envelope, start with a very fast attack, a short to medium decay, moderate sustain, and a quick release. That gives you a bass that can hit hard without smearing across the bar. It should feel punchy, but not clicky, deep, but not floppy. Now program the MIDI. This is where a lot of people overcomplicate things, but the old-school DNB mindset is usually less is more. The bass line should leave space for the break. It should feel like a percussion part with low-end weight. Try thinking in terms of root notes and response notes. If you're in F minor, F can be your anchor. Then you can answer with Eb, C, or G depending on the movement you want. Keep the pattern tight. Put a low note on beat 1, maybe a short response shortly after, then leave gaps for the drums to breathe. Use short note lengths where possible. In jungle, the bass often hits like a rhythmic phrase, not a long sun note. Now here's where the shuffle warp idea comes in. We want the bass to feel slightly loose, but not unstable. The sub should stay locked in. The higher rhythmic notes can carry the shuffle. One way to do that is with the groove pool. Load in a light swing or MPC-style groove and apply it gently to the MIDI clip. Start around 10 to 25% timing amount. Don't overdo it. If you push the whole bass too far off the grid, you lose that essential low-end punch. Another approach is manual displacement. Nudge some mid-bass notes a little late, but keep the sub hit straighter. That contrast between locked sub and shuffly mid-bass is what gives you that living, breathing motion. If you're triggering audio clips or working with clip launch behavior, you can also use launch quantization creatively. Try 1/16 or 1/8 values, and experiment with how the bass phrases land against the drums. In a live style arrangement, that can create a really cool rolling tension. Now let's shape the sound with the chain. Saturator is your friend here. A few dB of drive can make the bass audible on smaller speakers and give it that gritty jungle edge. Soft clip can help if needed, but don't crush it. You want attitude, not blur. Auto filter is where the movement comes alive. Map the cutoff to a macro so you can open and close the tone across phrases. A little resonance can add character, but too much resonance in the low end can get ugly fast. EQ8 should clean up any mud, especially in the low mid range around 200 to 400 HE. If the bass is getting cloudy, that's usually the first place to check. And if you have unwanted rumble below the real sub zone, trim it carefully. Then use a compressor or glue compressor to keep the bass glued to the drums. If the kick needs space, sidechain gently from the kick. In this genre, you usually want the sidechain to support the groove, not make the whole mix pump like a house track unless that's a deliberate style choice. At the end of the chain, use utility to keep the bass centered and controlled. Anything deep in the low end should be mono or nearly mono. That's just good practice. If the sub gets wide, your low end gets weak, and your club translation suffers. Now the fun part, Group the whole chain into an instrument rack and map your macros. This is where the blueprint becomes a performance tool. Instead of reaching for a bunch of different plugin knobs every time, you can shape the whole bass with just a few controls. A really practical macro layout would be something like this. Macro 1, sub. Map that to the sub level and maybe output trim so you can raise or lower the foundation without changing the rest of the tone. Macro 2, grit. Map this to saturate or drive and possibly the level of your harmonic oscillator. This is your clean to dirty control. Macro 3, filter. Map cutoff and maybe a touch of resonance. This one is huge for phrase movement. Macro 4, shuffle. Use this to control delay send amount, or any rhythmic looseness you're adding. Keep in mind, this is more about the feeling of motion than a literal swing knob. Macro 5, punch. Map compressor attack and release, or any transient shaping you're using. This helps the bass lock harder with the drums. Macro 6, width. Use it to control stereo widening on the upper harmonics, while keeping the sub stable and centered. Macro 7, space. That's your delay and reverb send control for atmosphere. Be careful with it, though. In DNB, too much space on the bass can smear the groove. Macro 8, movement. This can control subtle detune, filter envelope depth, or LFO rate if you're adding modulation. Keep it subtle. You want life, not wobble chaos. A really important coaching note here, macro ranges matter more than how many macros you have. If a knob is moving from 0 to 100 and the sweet spot lives only in the middle, you'll end up overshooting it constantly. Set the min and max ranges so the control feels musical and easy to perform. Usually a little movement goes a long way in this style. Now let's split the bass into lanes, because that's the professional move. One lane is the pure sub. The other lane is the character layer. The sub stays clean, centered, and simple. The character layer can be more aggressive, more distorted, and a little wider. For the mid-bass layer, you can use wavy-dable, analog, or even operator again. High-pass it around 120 to 180 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. Distort it more heavily than the low layer. You can add a subtle chorus ensemble if you want width, but keep it controlled. This is where the attitude lies. The sub gives you weight. The mid layer gives you the snarl. Once you've got both layers working, check phase. That part matters a lot. If the low end feels hollow or weaker than expected, try polarity flipping and compare. A tiny phase issue between layers can make your bass sound way less powerful than it should. Now we start performing the arrangement with the macros. This is the part that makes the track feel alive instead of looped. In the intro, keep the filter fairly closed, reduce the sub a bit, and keep the grit low. Maybe add a touch of delay or space for atmosphere. You want the listener to feel the bass coming, not getting hit in the face immediately. When the drop arrives, open the filter more, bring the sub up, and increase the drive. Keep the compression tight so the bass sits with the kick and snare. In the next phrase, start bringing in more shuffle and movement. Maybe vary the macro positions every 4 or 8 bars. That tiny bit of change keeps the groove evolving. In a breakdown, strip things back, remove the sub if needed, let the mid-bass texture speak, and open up the space a little with delay or reverb. Then, when the final drop lands, push the grit harder, maybe widen the mid-bass a little, and make the rhythm feel more urgent. A good rule here is to automate the rack macros, not every individual device parameter. That keeps your arrangement clean and easy to manage. It also makes the bass feel like one instrument with a few expressive controls, which is exactly the point. Now let's talk mix interaction, because jungle and DNB bass does not live alone. It has to dance with the kick, the snare, and the break. If the kick is short and punchy, let the bass fill the gaps. If the bass is dominating too much, tighten the sidechain and shorten the note lengths. The snare needs space. If the bass is colliding with the snare body, the whole track loses impact. And with breakbeats, especially something like an amen style loop, the bass should complement the ghost notes, not step on them. Leave some air. The groove gets heavier when not everything is constantly full. A nice habit is to monitor at low volume. At lower levels, you'll hear whether the bass still reads clearly and whether the rhythm still makes sense. If it works quietly, it'll usually work loud too. That's a really useful reality check for this genre. Let's go over a few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the bass too busy. Repetition and space are part of the sound. Don't shuffle the sub too much. Keep the deep end stable. Don't widen the low end. Wide sub can sound impressive in headphones and weak in the club. Don't distort everything equally. Push the mid layer harder than the sub, and don't automate everything separately if you can help it. Macros exist to make this musical and manageable. A few pro-level ideas can take this even further. Try switching between a root pattern and an answer pattern. One clip can hold the foundation, while another adds short replies or octave pops. That call and response feel is classic jungle energy. You can also map velocity to tone so harder notes open the filter a bit or add more saturation. That makes your MIDI performance more expressive without needing a ton of automation. You can also create safe and danger macro states. Safe mode can be clean, tight, and monofocused. Danger mode can have more drive, more width in the harmonics, and stronger filter motion. Those two states can become super useful for section changes. Another great trick is ghost note phrasing. Very low velocity notes before or after the main hits can make the bass feel more human and more old school. They should whisper, not shout. Used sparingly, they add a ton of character.